As we've been reporting throughout the morning, actor Carrie Fisher, who made her name in the 1977 blockbuster Star Wars, has become the latest figure of popular culture to die in 2016. The 60-year-old died overnight after suffering a heart attack 4 days ago on a flight from London to Los Angeles. The creator of the sci-fi saga Star Wars, George Lucas, and fellow Star Wars actors Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill have joined a chorus of celebrities paying tribute to Carrie Fisher. She'd recently finished filming her scenes for the next Star Wars installment, set to be released in December next year. Well, Stephen Gaidos is the executive director of Variety magazine. He joins us now from Los Angeles. Good morning and welcome to Summer Breakfast.
Good morning. How are you?
Carrie Fisher, a reluctant celebrity really, but her often tumultuous life was lived in the public eye throughout.
Yes, I'm not sure how reluctant she was. I think she was so multifaceted that it may have seemed that she was dipping in and out of the limelight when actually she was doing things behind the camera and then in front of the camera.
Her family life was in itself pretty interesting. She was born to Hollywood starlet Debbie Reynolds, her father having an affair with Elizabeth Taylor. For someone that, as you sort of describe it more, it was maybe dipping in and out of celebrity, she ultimately didn't really have much choice being born into that kind of environment.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of kids who are born to celebrities and they go into the insurance business and do things that, you know, we don't see. They don't become Princess Leia. She was very much, we use the term showbiz royalty because, you know, we don't have any royals over here. So our celebrities are kind of our royalty. She really was, I think, not so much by parentage and birth as ability. You know, she hit this cultural mother load with Star Wars as one of the three characters at the center of this global almost religion, and that is how she is probably known to 99% of the world. Inside Hollywood, I think she was known as, you know, one of the greatest wits of Hollywood since someone like Dorothy Parker. She was just an incredibly bright lady and incredibly funny and a terrific writer. So, you know, those who are following her closely and those who read her obituaries now will say, oh, I forgot that she did Postcards from the Edge, which was a book she wrote, and that she did a one-woman show on stage called Wishful Drinking, and she just written another book. So she was, you know, quite busy throughout her life, but she also did have a tremendously tumultuous life with all kinds of various issues, and it's easy to speculate that they had a hand in her early demise.
She was a writer, as you mentioned, also a script doctor. What did that involve?
Script doctoring is one of those things that you don't see the fingerprints on and you don't see the name on the movie, and without anybody knowing, people inside the business hire someone to what we call punch up a script. So, for instance, there may be a big romantic comedy with big stars and scenes aren't working or the script isn't working, and you pay someone an enormous amount of money. People make hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars for only a few days, a few weeks' work. And one can imagine if I worked at an agency, I would probably know where her fingerprints were and which movies she went in and wrote dialogue for and rewrote the scenes and brushed up characters and stuff. That's an amazingly lucrative business where you have absolutely no profile, which goes back to what I said originally. She may not have been visible to the public, but I get the impression she was an incredibly prolific, busy, creative person throughout her life.
She has been a long-time advocate for mental health issues. She opened up about her own battles even, you know, a few weeks before her own death. What was she struggling with, and what impact did she have by opening up about these things?
Well, I think it is incredibly important that people in the public eye who have issues of health, they can do something to destigmatize, if that's a word. They can speak to people and say, there's no shame here. This happens to people in rich families and famous families and poor families. She struggled, as far as I know, with a bipolar condition and depression. But, you know, she struggled with drugs. And so many of these things go hand in hand. There's the chicken and egg thing. Does cocaine make you crash and be depressed, and then you have to have something to treat that? So she had the full menu, and she spoke very openly about it. And she even found dark humor in talking about the travails of her unorthodox or unusual love life and marriages. But you know, there is a tradition in Hollywood of comic writers and people who are witty and clever and intelligent and insightful. And she, to me, was in the first rank of those people in the history of Hollywood who could peer into the human comedy and find those universal truths. And she did it over and over again. She did it on stage. She did it in print. She did it in movies, on TV. And she was just in the UK filming an incredibly funny TV show called The Catastrophe, where she was a supporting player. So, you know, busy, productive, plucky, determined woman that clearly, you know, the world is mourning her because there's such a fan base for Star Wars. But inside the business, it is really a palpable grief there. She knew so many people on both coasts, in both New York and L.A., that she was just a very treasured person here, I have to say.
All right, Stephen Gaidos, we'll leave it there. We appreciate your time and your reflections.
Thank you so much.
Stephen Gaidos is the executive director of Variety Magazine. It is coming up towards 8:45. You're listening to RN Breakfast.